Hey, this is MuckDog from themoneygoround.com. It's Friday, TGIF, February 22nd, 2013. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. You know, we talk about the stock market today. It'll be rather quick. I'm still, you know, a little unplugged from the news after being on vacation in Florida for the past, week or so, and kind of tough coming back. You know what, I was from vacation. You feel like you get unplugged from the news. You don't watch much news. You're doing this and doing that and running around and sightseeing. And still haven't caught up on too much news, but I've been kind of circling back and look at some of the stock market data. And, you know, I did want to mention that my black box has been on a sell signal for, well, about as long as I've been on vacation. So I actually, you know, as you know, I went to cash a week ago, so I guess that was about the 12th. I didn't top tick the market, and who knows, maybe the market's not even in a correction. Maybe it was just a couple down days, consolidation, I don't know, but I want to talk about that a little bit. As I'm walking the dog here on a cool, breezy Saturday night, Friday night in Sacramento. Anyways, so here are my thoughts. Here are some headwinds. I'll just kind of do pros and cons on the market, and I'll talk about the price action and some of the stuff going on, my gut feeling, the black box. Anyways, let's just talk about some of the headwinds I've mentioned before. And I think the, you know, tax increases slow down the economy. And, you know, last year, I think we had some people taking profits and dividends and dividend stocks and getting out of dividend stocks. And they've probably been in them for a while, so they had some capital gains in there too. So looks like the federal government, I think their revenues are going to come in better, especially in states that have taxes on that kind of stuff, too. I think it's going to look kind of rosy here for a little while. And they'll credit their tax increases for it, right? Even though that's, well, it'll be the case for last year, but we'll see how that works out for them this year. Anyways, so people are facing some headwinds of increased taxes, increased payroll taxes, increased state, local taxes. Healthcare premiums have gone up, that's for sure. And then also, fuel prices are higher, right? I drove by my favorite gas station on my way home today. That's over $4 here in Sacramento. And that's for 87. That's for regular. That's not for premium or anything. That's just for regular. So, you know, that's extra money that we're not spending at the malls, at the Cheesecake Factory, at Macy's, at Walmart, all that kind of stuff. So I think you'll continue to see the retailers and restaurants struggle, although, you know, maybe that's a pickup for some of the fast food places. I don't know. That's that. We're also talking about sequestration. You know, I saw the CBO projection that it's only a $44 billion cut, right? But then I also saw that in Forbes today they were talking about it. Really, there isn't a cut if you adjust for inflation over the next 10 years or whatever. It's really a $110 billion increase. Of course, that it's a lot less increase than what they want, right? So they'll call that a cut, even though it's more. But so if we only increase spending by $110 billion, is that a death knell to the economy? That's the question. But my guess is that they come up with a deal, much like they did last time, and it'll involve a lot of kicking down the road and promises to cut spending down the road. Of course, that never materializes, but they'll promise it, right? In the meantime, they'll try to raise taxes here and there or cut loopholes or do whatever to raise more money. And I think that'll continue to be a drag on the economy. The Federal Reserve also indicated that at some point, maybe they'll stop easing, right? But I have to think that the economic numbers really aren't that great, and especially with the discretionary income going down for most Americans this year due to the tax hikes. You know, I think that Bernanke's going to continue to try to print money, continue to, you know, try to stimulate the economy. And it still probably won't work. But, you know, just my thought. On the other hand, I do want to obviously put some good news, too. I mean, the market, after falling a couple days, kind of rebounded the last couple days. And it was up for 7 weeks in a row, and this is not the eighth week in a row, so the streak was broken. It certainly feels like the trend has changed because we had that big down day, but we had a big up day today, although it was on light volume. But, you know, it seems like I think the bulls probably felt like they got some wind back in their sails the last couple days. And, you know, so I think that, I think the question is was the pullback that we saw this week, was that it? Is there any more coming? Are we stair-stepping now? Because if you take a look at the stock market, take a longer-term look, like, you know, go back to September, it's really not up much at all, right? Look at the S&P 500, it's pretty flat. The NASDAQ 100's been struggling because Apple's holding it hostage. Of course Apple's holding, you know, I want to talk about the black box too, because speaking of holding something hostage, I look at a bunch of ETFs against my mechanical system, and one of the ETFs I use is the QQQ, the NASDAQ 100, and it's broken, it's not working, and, you know, a lot of that I blame on Apple, but, you know, if you look out throughout history, isn't there always some stock holding it hostage one way or the other? So, I'm kind of wondering, is that the right ETF to use? I mean, because it's heavily weighted, it's in the higher cap stock. So, but anyways, I looked at some other ones that I also use, you know, the SMH, which also has the same problems too. But SMH and some of the more diversified, VTI and SPY and that sort of thing, and they all tend to give signals about the same time anyways. And all those are on sell, but the NASDAQ 100 is not on a sell, and I think that's because, well, it hasn't really been participating as much, so... Anyways, I still consider it a sell signal, and I guess that's why you don't just stick with one mechanical signal. You kind of got to look at a bunch of things and then take a look at what's going on in the economy and, you know, 7 straight weeks up and all that stuff, a lot of bullishness going on. So, yeah. So that's the black box sell signal for about the last week or so, about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. Sell, 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 sell. It's not always right, but it tends to, the tops aren't like a one-day process. It tends to usually give multiple signals for a week or so, and different price points, you know, maybe not top-tick the market. If you do, you're lucky, but I think it's only top-ticked and bottom-ticked a couple of times over the last few years, which has been nice when I followed it, but, So, in the news today, I saw HP, you know, HP was rallying, and I was thinking, man, is HP a dead stock or what? You know, they're trying to sell laptops and desktops, and they tried tablet too, right? In a market where people are buying iPhones Apple and Android tablets for the most part, right? They're not mostly Apple probably too, or even the Amazon Kindles now. They got the HD, which looks pretty nice. So, is HP, is that part of their business just going to be shrinking, along with printers? I mean, you know, business customers might be the only people buying printers anymore. I have had one for a while, and, you know, I run out of ink between, and I don't even hardly print anything, because it just dries out, you know, it's, because I got a tablet, so anything I need to read or keep with me, I just keep on the tablet, or even on my iPhone sometimes, so I don't even need the paper. So, you know, that kind of stuff. And HP sells a lot of paper, too. They have a lot of inkjet paper and stuff like that, too. So ink cartridges, which used to be, you know, you buy the printer for $100, and every time you go to get new ink, it costs you $50-$60, right? And that part of their business is really drying up, too, right? So you have that. I know they sell the big old, you know, blade servers. I mean, they serve computers and servers, and I know they're trying to get in the business side of it too, with a lot like you know, IBM and stuff, and I think that'll be kind of challenging for them, but certainly that's an opportunity. So you kind of wonder if they're going to be successful in their business strategy, if Meg Whitman's going to be successful there. She was on CNBC this morning, and you know, I don't believe too much of what she says. It's, you know, she's kind of a salesperson too, trying to sell their brand, and my thought was it's going to be tough. At some point, though, it might be a value, because, you know, what if they are successful in turning the business around and changing them to more of a service provider, you know, get government contract sort of thing, where they bring in hardware and maybe they can get some software and then sell people, human resources, right? Sell bodies, put bodies at places and contract with people and that kind of thing. So that's one I kind of counted the stock for dead, but maybe they'll be successful trying to change their strategy. It just won't be the same kind of company it was before, you know. But they'll still have some of that business with servers and still some amount of printers and stuff like that. But and then there'll be some competition from other folks, but who knows, maybe they'll be one of the last few folks standing in the laptop market too when it's all said and done, because who's buying those these days, right? Tablets do the same thing. Tablets do the same thing for more money. So it's more attractive, right? Let's see, that's about it. I'll just keep it relatively short. Looking forward to hunkering down with Wall Street Journal and Barron's this weekend and kind of reading about more things going on. I don't even know what's going on politically. I know the sequestration stuff I mentioned earlier that's coming up. And my gut is they'll do something. I mean, it'll be like last time. It'll come down to the wire, and they'll probably some kind of can kicking down the road action. I don't know. That's about it. I think earnings season's kind of drawn down now. Kind of over. So, well, the other thing too, the other problem is Europe and China, and there's a lot of problems going on financially and economically around the world. So, and we're not the only ones. It wouldn't surprise me if we're next. But I did want to say, and this is kind of maybe finish on an upbeat note. You know, I got the Cheesecake Factory indicator, the BJ's factory indicator, BJ's restaurant indicator, because I go to those restaurants all the time. And you know, they're a lot more crowded. They're crowded. The waiting list is long. My drive to work has just gotten horrible the last few weeks. And I think a lot of that, you know, school's back in session. That's part of it. But the other thing is maybe more people are working too. You know, maybe things are picking up. So that's just, you know, the things that you see with your lying eyes, right? Because it looks like the restaurants are crowded. It looks like the freeways are crowded. So I kind of wonder if there's just a general uptick in the economy. Even with the payroll tax going up and other things, I mean, that'll slow down some sections, some sectors of the economy. But I mean, overall, that can be, that could be countered by salary increases and more jobs. So anyways, hey, I hope you're having a great one. See ya.